praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Why don't we lift our hands to the Lord? Let's love God together. Jesus, we love you. Thank you, God, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for what we feel in this house. Lord, you are so mighty, so mighty, so mighty. We thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. What a privilege to be in the house of God. Amen. Amen. What a privilege. A privilege to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And I miss Pastor and Sister Crosswhite and Isaac. Look forward to seeing them sometime eventually. Amen. I've been vacationing in Peru and just came home and home for a couple days, and then we'll be gone again. So it's just good to be home for a couple days. Amen. Seeing God's people. Are you thankful for the Holy Ghost? Amen. There's just nobody like Jesus. Amen. There's nobody like Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I had a message that I've only preached it once. I preached it 12/11/2022 in Decatur, Texas. And it's a good one. And I thought I was going to preach it here tonight, but I'm not. Another time. It's a good one about valleys. Amen. And it's, I haven't preached it since. I've been wanting to preach it, and I thought, man, God's going to let me preach it, and he's not. So it's just better to go with what the Lord wants to do. So turn with me in your Bibles. I'm so used to practicing Spanish that I almost said, abren en tus Biblias, but most of us would know what that meant. And I just learned. So turn with me, if you would, to the book of James. I think that's where we want. Let's see. Yes, James chapter 4, Santiago. Man. So I forgot what the Spanish name for James is. And I'm there in one of the churches in Peru, and I'm trying to really impress them with my grasp of Spanish. And I said, turn to the book of Jaime. And nobody had the book of Jaime in their Bible. I forgot to tell you about that one, honey. That was pretty good. All right, James chapter 4 and verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Of course, resistance doesn't work unless you're first submitted. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Amen. Thank God for the promises of his word. Amen. And they work. Praise God. Amen, amen. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your word. Bless everybody that will stay awake. And those that don't stay awake, we're going to thank you, God, for healing them of insomnia. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated in Jesus' name. I was at a place here not too long ago. Oh, it's been 3 or 4 months ago. And there was people going to sleep while I was preaching on a Sunday morning. One guy actually had his hand like this. And he's doing this on the front row. And so I just stopped, and I told everybody, I said, you know what, folks, God's doing miracles. I said, let's all worship God, and let's thank God for what he's doing here on the front row. And so they did. Everybody started worshiping God. The guy woke up. I said, no, do you go back to sleep? We're thanking God that you've been healed. And so he didn't go back to sleep the rest of the revival. And God healed him. Amen. Hey, living for God's fun. I'm just telling you. Amen. Praise God. You do whatever you want to do, but I'm living for God. I'm having a good time doing it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I had my mind geared to preach about valleys. And while I was praying over here, the Lord impressed upon me this passage of Scripture, and that we are know full well, probably most everybody here, James 4, and submitting ourselves, therefore, to God, resisting the devil, and he will flee, and drawing nigh to God, all the passages that we read. And so I'm just going to talk to you here tonight about some things that I've learned about submission. Amen. Everyone say submission. Praise God. Just some things that I've learned. I've lived long enough now to have some insights, and I don't know that it's going to help a lot of the adults, but I am believing that the Lord's going to help some young people. Praise God, because you're the most malleable, and hearts are being developed. My home church, we had the church motto was helping people to become. And somebody would say, well, become what? And that was the point. We'll just become whatever God wants you to become. But in order to become, you have to have a malleable heart. It has to be teachable. It has to be submitted to God. Not to everybody else and everything. It has to be submitted to God. And the younger you get a hold of that, the easier it is. The older you get, it becomes more difficult because you know a lot of things. At least we think we do. I had somebody here in the last couple months, I've had several pastors call me and ask me some questions about certain things that they thought I might have insight into. And so I shared with them my thoughts. And then I said, did you notice I haven't told you to do one thing? Didn't tell them what to do. I said, I've given you lots of ideas, but I didn't tell you what to do. Because if you had asked me those questions 25 years ago when I knew everything, I could have told you, here's what you should do. But now I've learned some things, and I don't know everything, but I know what's worked for this person. I know what's worked over here, and I know what's worked. So you take them, pray about them, find out the will of God for your life, and come on in. Don't be afraid. The water's fine. Amen. Everybody here swim. We all got our floaties. It's going to be a great night tonight. Praise God. Amen. Being submitted to God, is not just obeying God. It's not just obeying God. It is a spirit of submission to the will of God. Whatever God wants me to do, that is what I will do. Whatever the pastor says for me to do, that is what I will do. Now, the older you get, the harder this becomes because your hearts become calcified. And a lot of times folks will say, amen. And they'll even talk in tongues. I've met folks that talk. It's kind of like I saw this meme. It's a really cool little meme. It's a little boy, and he's got like this little questioning face. You've probably seen it too. It's probably about 2 years old, and he's sitting like this, and he's all scrunched up, and he's got this kind of like weird look on his face. And it says, you mean to tell me you talk in tongues, but you lie in English? See, submitted people. Truly, so I've met some tongue talkers that, man, they can talk in tongues, but they can't tell the truth standing on a stack of Bibles looking at God. Amen. They got all the gossip down for everybody. They're not submitted. They're obedient, but they're not submitted. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. And so the younger that you get a hold of true submission, the spirit of submission, and right now, I'll tell you now, I know I got the young people's attention, but there's already adults that's already checked out because nobody's going to tell me what. I'm good. I'm fine. I'm here. That's good enough. Well, God's not interested in just people being there. He wants you there, involved in spirit and in truth, not just a physical presence. But that's part of submission. It's part of submission. Submitted spirits. Look beyond the immediate command. Submitted spirits are trying to understand the purpose for the command. Not just what does this mean to me in the present, but why does the Lord have this for me? What's behind this idea of submission? Now, I'm going to tell you, as the Lord was given some of this to me, I'm going to tell you some stories. Everybody likes stories? Anybody like stories? If you like stories, lift your hands. I'm not talking about tall tales. I'm talking about real stories. I'm not talking about like Davy Crockett stuff. Whatever. I'm talking about real stuff. And submission. Submission is hard, Brother Murray. It's hard. But once you allow your spirit to become truly malleable to the Spirit of God, it's very easy to live for God. It's very easy to make decisions that is based upon Bible principle that you're not going to get messed up with. When I was a younger man and had come back to the Lord, it was like the Lord let me go through all kinds of stuff right at the beginning to see if I was going to actually stick with it. My wife and I was engaged, and I was going to have a business, a car detailing business, mobile car detailing business. We had some nice church people in the church that they did some car sales, you know, and so my almost wife, we pulled our tax refunds together, and we went and I bought an Econoline green van. Man, I was excited about it. I had given them the money. I owed them, like, I think, $1,000 or $2,000 more, and I can make payments on it. I was happy. And so we got the car. I got the keys. I got in the car, went to go get it smogged. I'm driving about 3 miles from giving them the money, signing the paperwork. And as I'm coming off the highway where the smog shop is, the whole front end went out on the van. And so I get a hold of the guy. There was no cell phones then. It was payphone. So I get a payphone. So, hey, brother, this van, I just bought it. And you remember it, right? And, yeah. And I said, well, the front end just went out. He said, well, brother, man, I hate that that happens. But, you know, you buy them as is. And we couldn't tell you what was going to happen. And so, brother, you know what? Just don't worry about making all those payments right off the top. You just pay it back within the next year. Talk about being angry. Now, if that had happened to me a year before when I wasn't in church, well, it'd been a different story. I didn't even go to the pastor. I just took it on the chin, and I went and prayed myself through and said, now, God, I want to be submitted to you. I don't want the spirit of wrath to get a hold of me. If you'll grab a hold of some of those things early in living for God, you'll avoid a lot of shipwreck. You'll learn to avoid bitterness and anger that comes down the road. Those guys didn't treat me right. One of them's not even in church anymore because he did it to other folks. See, those that are not submitted, sooner or later, their spirits are going to be revealed. They know they have forms of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And if you learn early, God, I want your spirit in me. Not just talking in tongues. I've met folks that, matter of fact, sometimes there's an abuse of tongues. I've met folks that's all they do is talk in tongues. They start to pray and all they do is talk in tongues. You don't hear a word of English out of them. That's an abuse. The Bible said praying in that language that we know, and praying in the Holy Ghost. Ooh, well, I felt like I crossed somebody's theology right there. That's all right. I've been there, done that. I've seen enough folks that they can talk in tongues, carnal as a rock, up and down in their relationship with God. You know why? Because they've learned how to allow the Spirit to move on them, but they're not submitted in their spirit. That's a very dangerous place to be. It is those places where folks have up and down relationships with God and they never get a submitted relationship with God is one that brings confidence in living for God. Bible, it's interesting that King Saul, how many of you remember King Saul? King Saul was anointed. He, matter of fact, there's only one reference of him worshiping God, and the Bible said he worshiped mightily. But with the people of God. That was a daddy that Michael never knew. The reason why Michael came after David the way she did is because she didn't know a daddy that had worshiped when he was young. She came after David because the only measurement of what a king is like is a daddy that was backslid that killed priests. And so her whole perception of kinghood was not somebody that worships God. It's somebody that has everything dialed. They are so proud. They're so strong. Nobody's going to touch me. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. And matter of fact, where he had respect for the man of God, Saul did, for Samuel at one time, early in his life, he respected the man of God. But by the end, Saul's going to hide because Saul, or Samuel even said, Saul will kill me. How does a man get that way? He forgot submission. And that'll happen to, and Saul was a young man when that happened. He was a young man. Now, I don't know what is so interesting about somebody, some of the conversations going on, but it will stop and let you preach if you want to keep talking. Amen. And woo, praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? And so Saul, notice what Saul did. When Saul, the evil spirit comes to Saul, Saul had a musician and Saul had a preacher. Saul wanted a musician rather than a preacher. He wanted something that would make him feel good rather than something that would deliver him. What he wanted. There's folks that, boy, they get in a problem. You know, beware, you young folks. Don't blame the devil on everything. Matter of fact, most of the time, the devil ain't even involved in your problems. It's just called flesh. I had a fellow when I was pastoring come to me one time. Oh, pastor, pray for me. I got a thorn in the flesh. Sounds spiritual, doesn't it? It's Bible. I said, well, brother, then that means you've been to the third heaven. I said, oh, well, then you've seen things of God that you can't talk about. I said, well, then you ain't got a thorn. You just got flesh. Because that came to Saul, or rather Paul, because of places he had been in the spirit. That thorn in the flesh was not battling the flesh. That was something to keep him humble for the things he had saw in the spirit. And so sometimes we try in our relationships with God, we try to make the devil the bad guy out of everything. Most times it's just your flesh. And it's the flesh rising up, not wanting to submit to God. Bottom line. You submit to God, what does the scripture say? If you submit to God, what does the devil do? What do we read? All right. So if you submit to God and you resist the devil, he leaves. He can't bother you. I had folks, well, Brother Saval, does the enemy attack you? No. No. Very rarely. If he does, it's usually in a church service in revivals where I'm fighting the spirits that are in the church. See, when you're submitted to God, sold out to what God tells you to do. I had folks... I know of a preacher, he said he was praying and asking God for direction. God, give me direction. God, give me direction. He said finally he felt like the Lord spoke to him and said, I'm not giving you no more direction until you follow what I told you to do. See, submission to God, it's kind of like, now you young folks, you don't do this. Don't do that. I did this when I was a young married. I was 20. How old was we when we first got married? How old was I? 23. 24. I was getting ready to turn 24. And I went in our church, we had our pastor, and then he had other men in the church that were leaders. And we had one guy, one brother that I very well looked up to, and he was over the discipleship and the marriage. And then there was another brother that he was kind of over the men's fellowship. All the men in the churches. And so I liked both of them. And I had a buddy of mine. My wife and I hadn't been married that long. Not even, 6 months maybe? And boy, I was spiritual. And we were going to try to, we were going to try to make more money. And so I got the bright idea. I had a buddy of mine in the church. Be careful of opportunities that come in the church. Most of the time, young people, listen to me. Most of the time, they're not great opportunities. It's true. It's quiet, but it's right anyways. I've done this too long, folks. I had my daughter one time. She said, Daddy, she said, someone said, the situation, she said, they want to trade work. And I said, no, absolutely not. You don't ever trade work for anything. You get a monetary value on it. Why? You know why? I'll tell you why there, brother. Because when you trade work, the work that you're trading for somebody to do something, they're never going to be satisfied with your work, and you ain't ever going to be satisfied with not doing enough work. Both parties are going to be disappointed. Always put a monetary value on it. Always put something on your time. Well, that's good preaching. See, submission. You learn some lessons in life about submission. Understanding human nature. And so all of these things that go in, you didn't know all this was in submission. But that's how people end up losing out with God. When young people start shopping around for different ideas. So here I am. You thought I forgot, but I didn't. Here I am. And we're going to make some money. We're going to save some money. This is just funny. I had a guy tell me here not too long ago, Brother Savala, it takes two people to work today for them to make ends meet. And I said, that's a lie. I can take you to a church right now in Florida where most of the men they're the only ones that work, and the women raise homes. It can be done. You just got to go without things. You just got to learn how to adjust. You don't have to have everything right now. That's for the young people, because I got adults right now that don't agree with any of that. That's fine. But it's right anyhow. My wife and I started churches. There's times she raised my daughter, homeschooled. I was the sole provider of the house and of the church. God kept us going. See, when you seek first the kingdom of God, get this down, young people. When you submit your life to God, all of your goals, all of your aspirations, God will make a way. Now, let me tell you, there are going to come times in your life when it will seem like a blessing and an opportunity to come to you. And you know what it is? It's a test to see if you really want the will of God. Any job, any opportunity that comes is going to keep you out of church. It ain't the will of God. See, submitted to the will of God, well, praise God. I'm just practicing what I preach. Amen. It's hard. But see, submission to God says God is first over everything else. If you get this when you're young, you don't have to worry about that when you're older, because that'll weed out a lot of folks. All other young folks, you start looking for a mate or whatever, and they're off wandering around somewhere, and church isn't that big a deal to them, and they can just come in and out, do what they want to do. They're not submitted to God. They're submitted to their concept of church, but they're not submitted to God. And so here, I got the bright idea. I went and talked to the first elder, and I said, hey, I said, man, we got the opportunity to save money, and man, we're what do you think of this idea? We're going to move in with another couple in the church. They're going to rent us a room in the basement. Ooh, praise God. We are newly married, too. Well, it's a bright idea. And the elder looked at me, he said, Brother Joe, that's a bad idea. But I wasn't submitted, and I didn't like that idea. So I went and found me somebody else that walks with God. Saying another preacher in the church. I didn't tell him that I talked to this guy. I just said, Brother, here's what's happening. Well, it's a great opportunity. I didn't got good doors are opening. Praise God. Now, I had asked my wife at this point, but we had been married that long, and I didn't know that when you ask your wife, what do you think about something, they said, well, whatever you think is best is not a good answer. But I didn't know that then. And so he said, well, I normally wouldn't recommend it, Brother Joe, but what does your wife say? I said, oh, now I see being interpreted. I had great latitude now. Whatever you think, my wife said she's for it, whatever we thought was best. 6 months, and all of a sudden, I'm at men's prayer one day, and the first one says, hey, Brother Savala, I'd like to talk to you. All right, praise God. He wants to talk to me. It's the preacher. And we got in his office. He said, I understand that you're living in such and such a place. Yes, sir. Is that the place that you asked me about? And I said, no. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, your wife talked to my wife, and Brother Joe, do you want to please God? Yes, sir. Are you sure? Yes, sir. He said, then you go and get your checkbook and you get your wife and you go find you an apartment today and put a deposit down and you get out of that house within 2 weeks. Well, that's when you know if you're submitted or not. But you do not know you're submitted until the way you want to go gets crossed. And now all of a sudden, but I'd already learned. I went and got the checkbook, got my wife, and we went and put a deposit on the Cypress Meadows Apartments, I think that was the name of it, that day. Praise God. And we ain't never looked back. Amen. Submission. Now, I tell you that story to let you know that there's times I haven't been submitted. But I learned. See, beware of those that say they learn, but they keep doing the same thing over and over. Don't get involved with people that there's, oh, I'm sorry. They always got an I'm sorry. I'm sorry. God's changing me. I'm going to do better. But God doesn't change them, and they never do better. They've learned how to live without submission to God. That's a dangerous place. But to those that love God, see, because when you learn to live that way, the devil don't flee from you. Number one, I mean, he's around at that point because you're inviting him. You're inviting the spirits of rebellion, the spirits of, really, it's witchcraft. But to those that want a submitted spirit with God, that if you work with somebody in a church and they're talking about the pastor and they're talking about other people in the church, you have every right to say, you know what? I don't want to hear that mess. Exactly right. You know why? Because the only thing, I got family members over the years and friends of mine that when they backslid, brother, they talked about the church. Well, you know what? Joe Savala wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for the church. With all of the pitfalls and all of the sometimes hypocrisies and all of the stuff that goes on in a church, you ought to thank God you're a part of the church and not ripping one another down, but saying, God, help us all to be submitted. God, above all else, I got to be saved. And so I want to see others be saved. Now, if you have parents that rip folks apart, that's a tough place to be. Tough place. But if you love God enough, you can rise above that. That you can rise above it. Don't let their spirits become your spirit. Because something affects you does not mean it infects you. There's a difference. And so submission. I remember the first revival that I preached. Cass was just born. And maybe, I don't know, a month old. She had jaundice, and so my wife couldn't go. Those were the first few services. And in that church, they hadn't had anybody get the Holy Ghost in 10 years. And I think, I can't remember. We had over 5. I can't remember how many folks got the Holy Ghost, a couple services. And that Sunday service came around, and we noticed that the people that got the Holy Ghost weren't coming back. And then midweek service, about that same week, maybe a week later, the pastor asked me to cover a midweek service. And so I go to that midweek service, and I get there, and the assistant shows up in short sleeves, just a t-shirt, showed up in short sleeves, and which was uncommon back then. It's becoming more common now. The lack of modesty is ridiculous, Pentecost, but back then it was very odd to see, especially someone in leadership show up that way. And he showed up, opens the church, goes in, and I go over there. And I looked at the entryway, and there's cobwebs and stuff. I walked in, I said, hey, you got a broom? Who would you broom for? Well, man, so that's embarrassing out there. So I just sweep off the front, wiped it off. And we start having service. And in the middle of that service, he gets up and begins to testify. And he says, I want to thank God today because I was out with this Baptist brother. That always disturbs me when someone starts calling somebody that's not a brother a brother. This Baptist brother. He said, and we were praying together, and while we prayed, God delivered me a cigarette. That's the assistant pastor talking. I'm sitting there, I'm new, I'm this is my first revival, brother. I'm just like, whoa, this is wow. And the church is looking at me like, where's this going? And he said, I want to thank God. He goes, oh, then he has me get up to preach. Well, I'm preaching now. This is so this don't put back there back walls, just glass entry door. And while I'm preaching, I see a police car pull up. And I'm teaching. And it comes in the back door comes two police officers. Around. And the assistant pastor's sitting over here. And all of a sudden, and they're talking, and I just keep talking. I'm preaching, whatever I'm doing. All of a sudden, I see him look over there, and they looked at him and went like this. He walks over there. And I see him talking a few minutes, and I see him go outside the door. I'm teaching. God's people are just having a good time. And I'm while I'm preaching, I'm watching this stuff happen. Next thing I know, I see the assistant pastor up against the car. They put him in handcuffs, stick him in the car, and they drive away. I get done, and there was a little sister there. She said, well, what happened to brother so-and-so? I said, well, he had to leave. And I wasn't going to tell him what I saw. I just said he had to go. And so he did. And sadly, funny, she had a key. She locks up. I get a call the next day from the pastor. I said, well, I'm sorry. He said, I didn't know what was going on. He said, your revival and the way God's been moving has exposed some things that I could not figure out what was going on. He said, that man, obviously, he'd been smoking. But he had went to every one of those that had received the Holy Ghost and went to them and told them, this church believes you have to be baptized in Jesus' name to be saved. And that's a false doctrine. You need to go over to this church over here. That was the assistant. And the reason why he was arrested was because he had been over ministering to an ex-girlfriend. And she had a restraining order on him that the pastor didn't know about. And he violated it that day. And they came and picked him up. See, when you get into spirits of non-submission to God, you don't know where it'll lead you. You don't know what it will do and influence you. Now, I mean, I can tell you story after story of things that I've seen. Now, some of it sounds humorous, but it's really not, because you're talking about people's eternities. Where do those types of activities start? It starts when you're young. Now, I would reach, and I know some of the adults are listening. Some are still. And it's not really pushback. It's hard. Let me tell you something. It's hard to get a true spirit of submission when you get older. If you don't get it when you're young or really get it when you're converted, you can lose it. You can become hard because things happen to you in the church and life happens. And you're just, they don't know my problems. They've never had that many kids as I've had. They've never had the relationship problems I've had. They've never had. I'm just telling you, that's what happens. But if you learn to submit to God early, when those things come to your lives like they do to all, God, I don't understand it, but I'm submitted to you. And so while I'm submitted to you, I'm able to resist the demonic forces that come with it. And when they come, I can resist them. Why? Because I'm submitted to God. And if you learn that lesson, it'll make all the difference in your walk with God, in your power with God, in faith. We talked about faith a little while ago. Faith is not just I believe. Real faith is obedience, but submitted obedience to God. Submitted obedience to God in your finances. Don't take anything. Don't take anything or work for anybody or do anything that's going to take you out of church services. It ain't ever going to be the will of God. Oh, every once in a while, you might have to miss a service. But if that's somewhere that's a norm or expected, it ain't the will of God on anybody's planet. Get that so far down in your heart above everything else. When I talked to backsliders, there was only one promise I made to God when I came back to God. That I thought, God, it's the only one I can keep. And that is, I'm going to be in the house of God every day the doors are open. That is the only reason why I'm here today. You know why? Because when you're here in the church of God, in the house of God, the preaching of the word comes. It might be correction. It might be faith. It might be healing. It might be Holy Ghost. It might be the same lesson you've heard 42 times, but it doesn't matter. I'm in the presence of God, and I'm with the people of God, and my heart is submitted to God. So these are lessons, things that I've learned. Some of them by observation, some of them by personal experience. I've learned by watching churches preached in a church. I didn't know what I was getting into when I preached at that church. They had told me, oh, Brother Savala, we do video, but we only do preaching videos. Fine. That's all you really watch? God bless. But that's hardly ever where it stops. And that was VCR back then. Now everybody's got cell phones. You watch whatever you want to, whenever you want to, however you want. And so, but I felt a little something when he said it. And then his son, who's a young man at the time, and I'm not certain he's still living for God now. I'm just going to tell you, listen. This all right? Good. All right. You young folks, just listen to your Uncle Dudley tonight, okay? I'm just trying to help. I had a good message already for y'all. Don't get involved in the sports world or all this kind of stuff at school and all that. Y'all don't need it. Messes with your mind and spirit. Opens yourself up. I don't care who all's doing. If you want to live for God, you want to be successful for God, don't get into the band. Don't get into all that kind of stuff. Messes with your spirit. Oh, praise God. That's good old-fashioned preaching is what that is. Oh, some of you older saints that live for God, but people are afraid to say that stuff now. And not your pastor. I'm just holding up his hands right now. And so anyways, there was something wrong at that church. The pastor's wife exercised way too much authority, for one. And just very loud, very belligerent. Well, I found out afterwards. After the church closed, and it exploded, that while I was preaching and talking about holiness and not even naming all the stuff, I was talking about the spirit of holiness, which the true spirit of holiness is submission to God. Be ye holy as I am holy. So if I'm really holy and I want to be holy to God, all of the stuff that comes with living for God becomes easy. So, I wondered why it was so rough. One day I came into the church early on a Sunday morning. Never forget it. This young man was in college, and the whole time I'd been in the revival there, he had never really been very boisterous. You know, he led songs, and for the most part was about as carnal as a box of rocks. But today, that Sunday morning, I walked in church, and he was yelling and praising God and talking in tongues. And I thought, man, this guy's got a hold of something. I said, praise God, we're going to fix an ad revival. He come out of the prayer room, Brother Savala, God's so merciful, and God's so gracious, and I'm so thankful. And I said, man, that's good, man. I thank God. He said, what's going on? He said, oh, yesterday I was with the little group that he was with in college, and he said, and after we got done doing the entertainment stuff, we sat down and we started studying. He said, and then he said, I was talking to him about the Bible. Oh, it was just a wonderful time of God. And he said, and then I don't know what happened, Brother Savala, but we started playing cards. He said, and then the next thing I knew, I was just sitting there in my underwear. They started playing strip poker. He said, and all of a sudden, I looked at him and I said, this isn't godly. I said, you had to get down to your skivvies to figure that out. He said, this isn't godly. I'm sorry. I got to go home. But he gets dressed. Now he's in the church. And he's just worshiping God about how delivered he is. No submission. Just a little feel good. Gets up and boy, he's really, let me just say, sometimes I've met folks, they learn how to do this up and down thing with God, this submitted one minute, not submitted another, and they'll when they sing, they'll sing and you'll feel God. And when they preach, you'll feel God. And when they talk in tongues, you'll feel God. That's God's mercy, but that's not validation for what they're doing. They have an unsubmitted spirit, and they are headed for a shipwreck if they don't get their life right and an understanding that I must be submitted to God. And the enemy's having a field day. Well, that particular young man, it wasn't a real surprise when I found out that his mama, of course, I already knew she taught at the public school, but I didn't know what she taught until they invited my wife and I to come see her lead the school band, of which she had also taught the choreography to the dancers. Pastor's wife that had learned how to worship God and go to a public school and teach kids how to dance steps to songs. The unsubmitted spirits. How does that happen? People start playing around with the spirit. Well, I can still feel God. I had a friend of mine that I don't even know what he's doing now. He was anointed of God. He was anointed. And he got messed up morally. And he told me, he said, Joe, he said, man, when I preach, people get the Holy Ghost. It must be good. See, the unsubmitted spirit becomes self-deceptive. They think because I can still feel God that I'm okay with what I'm doing. I told him, I said, man, he said, you're messed up. God's going to give his spirit to anybody that's hungry and thirsty. It doesn't matter who's preaching. The denominational has people that really get the Holy Ghost in their church services, and they're not in Pentecost, but they're seeking God, and God's spirit comes and they get the Holy Ghost. But that's not a validation of all their doctrine. That's God filling somebody that's hungry and in a moment of time is submitted to God's spirit. And God says, you got a submitted spirit. I'm going to pour my spirit into you. Now what will you do with it? Will you stay submitted to God? Or will you try to find ways and alternatives to get around? Even a message like this, where God makes me look like almost an idiot. Trying to follow after God when I had something very good prepared. But I know when the Holy Ghost tells me to go a different direction. And God's trying to save some. God's trying to save. Because there's hearts here that you really do love God. You really want to serve God. And God's using you. The hand of God's on your life. But you need to guard it. Guard with submission to God. Nothing, no thing, nor anyone is going to penetrate this wall that I have built around the treasure that God's given me. It's not for sale. It's not for violation. I am submitted to the cause of Christ. Now, hallelujah. Man, I feel good. I really feel good because I did what the Lord wanted me to do. I submitted to God. Hallelujah. While some folks are bored, some folks are annoyed, and other folks are challenged. What will you do? Submission to God. Friends, family. Job opportunities that seem like job opportunities, but really are tests to see whether or not you will stay true to God, your convictions. What will you do? Will you stay submitted? Or will you find some way to rationalize away submission to God? As I've heard some folks, well, first of all, I'm able to give more to the church, as if God needs your money. God's not impressed with how much money any of us give. I'm going to be able to do more for God's kingdom. God's not impressed with that. It's His anyways. What He is impressed with is whether or not in doing something more for God's kingdom, am I able to uphold the principles and convictions of submission that I started with in the beginning? Boy, do I feel like my pastor. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for hungry hearts, for hungry souls. God, for minds that truly desire the things of God above all else. God, I ask you, Lord, that your spirit that's here, such a mighty way. God, that ebb and flow of the spirit that draws, that brings illumination. Situations and hearts and minds that did not really understand the implications, but now with the glorious light of your word, it illuminates our way. God, we're asking you, Lord, that you would give us courage, God, to submit to you all of our ways, to trust in you and through submission, that God, you will direct our path. Oh, we love you. We love you. Stand with me here tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, we could come and we could pray here at the altar. Some of us. Others, I'm going to make real happy because we're not going to have an altar service. And the reason for that is I want you to carry the soberness and challenge of this message with you. And in submission, I can't remember who I told this to. It may have been my daughter. I can't remember who it was here recently. When God moves on you strongly about something, there is deep conviction or a deep desire to do something great for God. Don't take that lightly. Don't sell it out by running out and going, having a good time and laughing and joking. It's okay, young people, to guard that and say, I'm going to take this home and I'm not going to let anything disturb it right now. It's too precious. Let it carry that thing. Carry the burden. Let it burn in your heart. Sometimes we pray them through, and we pray them through in such a way that we just pray it off of us. Then we go back to pretty much what we was doing when we walked in the building. But the Holy Ghost is helping us, and really it would help all of us. The word is for all of us. Now, whether or not we will all embrace it, then enact it, because that's really where the rubber meets the road, as the old proverb goes. What will you do with it from this point? What areas in your life will you submit to God that you know is not submitted to God? Or places that you have submitted portions of it to God, but not in total? Because when you do submit yourself to God, the frustrations that some of you are having, the disappointments, the continual temptation in some areas will go away. Because when you're submitted to God, it's like being a dead person. And you can't offend somebody that's dead. You can hit them. You can kick them. You can throw them around. They're dead. They don't feel nothing. The truly submitted person to God is dead. But they're alive to Christ. That most blessed state we could be in. Amen. Let's lift our hands to the Lord together right now. Jesus, we thank you, God, for your precious word. Thank you, God, for hearts, God, that receive the engrafted word of God that is able to save us, that is able, God, to propel us, God, into greater places with you that you have for us, if we will but submit to the processes, God, that you have in place. We love you. We thank you, God, for what we feel. Thank you, Lord, for your glorious Holy Ghost, the gospel. We ask you, God, that you would help us, God, to practice, apply these things to our lives in greater ways. God, that we would be what you would have for us to be. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name. So everybody look at somebody and smile. Smile real big. Amen. Show them all 32 or whatever else you got left in there. Amen. Smile and say, God has been good to me, and I'm going to be good for God. Amen. 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 Lord bless you. Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Let's go to heaven. How? Yes. We're dismissed in the fear of the Lord.